snow coming.
It's supposed to cool down tomorrow.
Blizzard up north. Decided it's 2 weeks we have snow here.
Okay, so.
Put it on.
Like today?
If the planes are covered.
That's Kappa.
We got snow.
Okay.
He had an.
The cyclists, they come out.
Except rock or grass.
Right.
I did ask if someone.
I decided it's on S N.
But he didn't respond.
S N and.
Well, I think we can begin. I think it's 6:30 according to our official timekeeper here.
Oh, yes.
I was just informed that,
Yes.
Frank Portillo could not make it, something came up this evening according to Patty. So number six will just be postponed to the next meeting. Are there any citizen comments? Seeing none, we'll move on then. I have no reports. Do any committee members have anything? All right. Approval of the minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I would approve all the minutes we got. There were a few minor housekeeping things which we notified staff of, but they were not material and, to the meaning of the minutes. And so I would approve all the minutes, including
right.
I think we had minutes for the hearings, right?
Yes. So. Second.
All right, so. All right, October 6, 24, 25, 26, and 27. Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? I've seen none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And that brings us to number 7, rather quickly, and the Corporation Council, I believe, thought it would be at 4 to 7.
Is there any way we could take number 8 before number 7?
We could. All right, Human Resources, review and approval of an administrative proposal for individual early retirement.
Good evening,
hello.
Chair. Supervisors, governance. So, before you tonight, we have a request for your approval for an early retirement package for Mr. Glenn Fenske. He is a public works employee. He has been employed with the county since July 19th, 1998, 34 years. He's 57 years old, and he was hoping to work until age 60. At that time, he would have, under the OPEB benefit that he would fall under, at age 60, he would be able to be on the county insurance at the same cost as other employees. His position is one that has been eliminated with the 2023 budget. Rather than apply for the new position that was added, he would like to simply retire from the county and hopes for consideration to offer an early access to the benefit. So he would be coming, he would drop off our insurance when he retires at year end, and then return January 1st of 2024 at the same cost as employees. So basically accessing the benefit 13 months early. You will see that there's been a financial analysis provided by our actuarial service at Milliman. So for that 13 months, they're estimating the cost to the county of $40,300.
All right, discussion.
Mr.
Dave?
Chairman, this looked like a good proposal to me. I would favor it tonight. I'm confident that there's no need for a budget adjustment, so we can do this within our approved budget. These actuarial numbers are, it will affect the journal entries and other things that we make when we close our books. But my understanding is finance committee can do this. It doesn't need to go to the board. So it looked like a good proposal from the administration.
Okay. Further discussion? Keith?
Claire, I'm sorry. Did I hear you correctly that you say that instead of applying for the new position, you would rather do it this way?
Correct.
This so pretty much that was his choice to do this?
Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify
that. Right.
Yeah, quick question, Clara. How much is COBRA on a monthly basis for an employee who exits?
So right now, a family plan is about $25,000 a year.
Why is this so much higher?
Because this is the actual estimate of the actual cost of having the employee and spouse on our plan. We're self-funded.
So we're looking at age and actuarial is doing the actual cost.
Correct, correct.
So I just did the math. It's like, wait a minute, $1,300 a month, wow.
Further discussion?
I like the idea of taking care of a long-term employee like this.
Correct.
Anyone else?
Move approval.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion on the proposal?
Yes, I just want to clarify. So you worked this out with the employee and mm-hmm. things like that, so it was mutually agreed upon?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Anything further, Brian?
Just a common theme. You know, the county is very grateful for the service of people, especially that have been here for over 30 years and done a great job for the county. We appreciate that. Past and present and future are three different times. So we're building toward the future, and positions come and go over time. So I'm very grateful that we're able to find an exit methodology that works, and he and his family, I understand there's other circumstances, will be well cared for, so.
Anyone else? All right, seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And then you'll announce it to him, and it doesn't go to the board.
Correct.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the next item is Corporation Council. We'll back up to that. We went through our agenda very quickly, Joel. And
I apologize. I'm on parenting duty tonight. My wife had a long-standing commitment that was made long before this was put on last month. So,
marriage?
Yes, but that's not the one I'm thinking of. So, good evening, supervisors. I went back through my notes and my recollection, as well as what is indicated in my notes, is that the committee asked for a list of, quote, legally available, unquote, alternatives to address the behavior of the sheriff that the committee could do. And to that end, while I have a list, I'm going to limit it to those items that I think was.
Thank you.
Not you.
Oh, sorry.
You too, Joe.
Bless you for limiting.
Bless everyone. Trying to limit the list. So to that end, I won't speak to things that I think are either legally impossible, are beyond the scope of perhaps the committee's ability, or are not directed specifically at the sheriff. Removing those. I'll be very honest and frank with the committee, as I believe I was last month. There aren't a lot of options on the table as far as I can determine. I will start with the one that I think is the least palatable, only because it's been brought up and asked about a couple times. That would be a civil suit. I'm reluctant to go into any great detail about a possible civil suit in an open session, other than to say that I am very hard-pressed to find what I think would be a viable legal theory to pursue. I think it would be expensive. I think it would be likely fruitless at the end of the day. And certainly I think that the cost for it could certainly exceed what, I'll say in the very generalist terms, damages that I think the committee is believing exist. The other options that I see would be some kind of resolution, call it a censure, call it a reprimand, call it whatever you want to call it, some sort of statement, official statement from the board. I can speak to my thoughts about that if people are curious as my opinion, but that's an option. And then the final one would be some kind of statement or letter that could come from any combination, I think, of the county executive, the chairman of the board, this committee, the board as a whole. I was thinking earlier today, as I continue to sort of ponder this, it could even be created as, for lack of a better term, an open letter, something that could be drafted and left for any members of the board who wished to sign it without taking some sort of formal action, if they wanted to amend their names to it or pen their names to it. We could ask him for the money. or some combination of those. But honestly, that's pretty much what I've come up with in terms of the options that we have. I won't bore the committee going through all of the things that we discussed last month, but I will just remind them that this is a very unusual situation. It is highly nuanced, and on top of everything else, we are dealing with a independently elected constitutional officer, meaning that the authority of the county board, the options that it has to try and deal with this, and the leverage that it might be able to bring to bear are, I think, extraordinarily limited. I will also just add to those remarks that I have her okay to say that I've spoken with the county executive. It is her intention to have a sit-down meeting in the near future with the sheriff-elect, discuss lines of communication, discuss expectations for the relationship between that office and the executive's office. As I said to Patty earlier today, I've been waiting to say this, there is indeed a new sheriff in town, or will be very shortly. Thank you, I'll be here all week. So again, while I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to rationalize, justify, defend what's occurred, I think it's also appropriate to be aware that steps have been taken to prevent a similar situation from occurring in the future. There are now checks in place. I really don't believe that a situation like this could re-arise. I think we're limiting what we can do to the incumbent of that office. We have somebody new coming in. I put that all on the table for the committee's consideration.
Discussion, Brian?
Yeah, a number of questions, Joe, around a letter of censure versus an open letter. It sounds similar in context or language. One is more reprimand, the other is more, we don't appreciate or respect what occurred. Is that a fair?
I guess so. I mean, part of what I'm thinking is, you know, it depends on whether the instruction is from this committee or from someone else to draft something, and draft something that people would have to approve or vote on, as opposed to draft something that we're going to leave on the clerk's desk and anybody who wants to put their name on it can. You know, and part of it, I think, ultimately comes down to, is this a statement from the board as a whole? Is this a statement from members of the board?
Would it be limited to the board or board administration more broadly, or
I think
open letter?
I think there are various options. I mean, if I didn't make it clear, and I may not have as I sort of rushed through this, early on I thought, as you know, when the determination came down from the Milwaukee District Attorney's Office, I believe at that point the executive had a statement that she sort of made. It was appropriately measured. I think certainly a more strongly worded statement could certainly be drafted. That could come from her. It could come from her jointly with the chairman of the board. It could come, when you say upper administration, I don't know, you know, who else you'd want on there. I think it could be fashioned in a number of ways.
That helps. My interpretation of what occurred. The sheriff says, I acted with good intention, even though the sheriff had great tenure and understands the policies and procedures of the county, but operated without or outside of those policies and procedures. Fair?
I can't speak to his knowledge, and that obviously is sort of the sticking point, but I think that's a reasonable assessment of the situation.
Okay. So essentially what we're considering then is you operated outside of what would have been, I'll call it, common knowledge of a person with your tenure in your position of how those procedures should be executed, and the board, the committee, or more broadly, it's a statement of what you did wasn't appropriate. And we don't appreciate it. We don't expect to see it in the future. We've taken steps to make sure it can't happen, including you're no longer sheriff. You chose not to run. So one is put to bed. The other is more future facing. Is that?
I think that's a fair, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Brother? Any further? Dan?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, to Joe. So, I mean, I'm only one. I'm I mean, we could send a letter or we could all sign a letter. I would be okay with not doing that and just letting things go. But in our last meeting, when we talked about this, you did advise us that there wasn't a lot we could do. And me as one committee member, it was hard to believe that there wasn't anything we could do. So you're back here again telling us there's not much to be done. So we adopt the budget. The law says the budget has to be followed. You look at 65.90 of the law. It talks about the budget. One of the main things the board does is set a budget, and we have the power of the purse through that, but in this case it has no teeth. It seems as though the budget has no teeth, and we had our council advised us that there was a misappropriation, and the process was the district attorney, we went through the process, we filed the information with district attorney said there was nothing criminal that happened. If there was something criminal, the DA would have referred it to the proper court, but since there was nothing criminal, there was nothing to refer to any court. So that's the remedy in our ethics code, and so we followed that remedy, and that's really all we can do. So really all we can do is look forward, and as we're looking at the ethics code, if the state law actually doesn't give us any teeth in the budget, the biggest budget that we adopt, the biggest property tax levy that we adopt, we probably have to develop our own teeth for the budget enforcement.
And I can certainly say that, as part of the review of the ethics ordinance, which we've talked about at some length now between this and the budget hearings, I've been in contact with a number of attorneys. I've gotten some preliminary estimates as to what they think it might cost. One of them was Corella Carlson, put together a pretty thorough response to my question. And while I'm not committing to anything this evening, I certainly think they'd be in a very good position to review this. There are a number of things specifically that I would like them to look at, and one of them would be, again, with the firm belief that this really was a probably once in a lifetime kind of situation, what would we do if I'm wrong and it comes up again? What can we do to an independently elected constitutional officer?
Yeah, and I guess it's not, I don't want to like target an independently constitutional officer. We have a duty to the county and to the citizens here, and
absolutely,
that's what we're elected. That's one of the reasons we're here. The reason for our existence. That's why they paid to have a county board. One of the reasons. So, when we develop, it seems like what we need to do is looking forward. This ethics code review that we're doing, we need to build some teeth into the budget. If there's any blind spots there, we need to figure out a way to do that. That's the way it seems to me. So that's the proactive thing we could do going forward. Going backwards, it looks like you're advising us there isn't a lot to be done. So I yield with that, Mr. Chairman.
I just, as we look at the ethics ordinance, when I read my interpretation, we'll say, of the DA's explanation was, well, in the Constitution, it says it's his job to, whatever it was, protect the citizens or whatever it was, or keep up the jail. So, because this helped keep up the jail, then it was okay that he violated our ordinances. So I'd like to see our ethics ordinance say something like, your constitution, something to the fact that just because it's in the Constitution that's your job doesn't mean you get to break our rules and our ordinances and things like that. That job description in the Constitution isn't literally a get out of jail free card. So I'd like to see that in our ethics ordinance, that things like that, don't trump our ethics policies.
goodwill doesn't trump.
Yes.
Kim? It seemed like part of his claim was that he was not aware of that he was breaking these rules. Is that what?
I believe that part of it, yes.
So I just wonder, over his tenure, how many people that were arrested did he let go because they weren't aware that they were breaking the law? This is a dichotomy that I just find unacceptable personally.
Further discussion here. So, do we just move on to the next item on the agenda? There's no motions, nothing.
There's no action to be taken.
No action. All right, then, Joe, thank you very much, and we'll move on. And I think our.
If somebody wanted to make that motion, I think.
What would the motion be?
No, he asked if there was anybody who was inclined to do
this. I think I'd like to move that we make a. Send a letter, and whether it's just signed by this committee, I'm open to, or if the executive wants to get involved, I'm open to that too.
All right. Is there a second to the motion? Second.
Second.
For discussion.
I think if we write him a letter, it's kind of a strongly worded letter, he's going to fire back with, I did this because you failed to act, and we were treating his people unfairly, and and we're going to fire back, and I'm not sure where this is all going to end. Who's going to come out on top is, it's going to get very confusing and muddled, I'm afraid. I'm inclined to just say, let's move on. Brian?
I think it's fair to say that we're disheartened by the behavior and find it peculiar at best that a tenured elected official in the county would make such an assumption. Okay, so granted, by best interests of the departments or the employees, I'm not sure that drafting a letter does anything more than, we just had an election Tuesday night, he is now on his final days. A letter doesn't prove anything other than, I think, Supervisor Rose is on target. It does create the back and forth, continue the tension, versus I think it's fair to say that media is very aware that we're aware of what happened and discontented by it, and quite concerned that the sheriff would have taken such a course of action, taking precautions for the future, I think, is the critical end result. How do we prevent something like this in the future, or at least have a tight enough control to be aware of it, alert it quickly, and make sure that we manage and mitigate it, and then go forward? So it comes back to ethics policy and making sure that we're prepared for future steps. That's
Kim.
Is the public aware of this, that this has happened? Is this public knowledge?
I can't speak to the extent of the public knowledge, but it certainly had been reported on in the paper. There was an article about this committee's meeting last month. There was an article when the decision was made by the Milwaukee District Attorney's Office, and I believe there was at least one article before that when some information came out about the investigation.
So if the public knows and they know that he's done something wrong and we don't do anything, we're kind of guilty by association. Way I would look at it, and I think it would be good for them to know that we tried to do something. I don't know how to make that, other than sending a letter like this, I don't know how to make that known.
Hey,
Mr. Chairman, to Corp Counsel, this committee hasn't been negligent in any way in this matter, have we? We've done everything by law that that is our duty to do.
I believe so, and if I may, for a moment, be so bold, I believe the administration, as well as my office, has done everything by the book, the way that it was supposed to be done.
We've done everything we can do. We've met our duty to the public. There's nothing more we can do on this other than look forward, right, and develop procedures so that we have good fiscal practices and good budget practices. I said it at the front end, my inclination is to, we've done everything we can do. Core Council has advised us that we've met the duty of our finance committee, and also the administration has done everything they can do. It's frustrating, and I know when I was a finance director here, when there's a fraud, it was really disappointing. And as a finance committee member, it also is similarly disappointing, but we've done everything we possibly can do, and my inclination, as I said on the front end, is to just move forward, address it in the ethics code, and not send the letter, although I'm very sympathetic to the motion to send a letter. And I yield.
Anyone else? All right, shall we vote then?
Roll call.
Yeah. Could you restate the motion to a letter? Where would the letter come from?
This committee.
From this committee.
Committee.
From this.
Yeah, the motion is to send a letter to the sheriff, which would become a public letter, criticizing his conduct on the subject matter. I assume to be drafted by the Corporation Council.
That was certainly my assumption from the motion as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we were going to sit around and draft the letter.
Yeah.
That might take.
Yes. Although I would have fun watching that.
I just like to comment that I think the public knows how frustrated we are based on if they did read articles or see newspaper, you know, whatever. Has come out in the public. They're aware of the situation, which I am glad that it came to light and it wasn't covered up or not aired. I think the public is owed that, since good government, clean government is good government, and airing, you know, letting people know of things that went wrong and that we're going to fix them. Is the most important thing, that we're going to fix them for the future, which the county exec did put procedures in place to do that, but then we as a county board are looking to revise our ethics ordinance as a second step also. So,
all right, anything further before we take the vote? All right, Dave?
No.
John?
No.
No.
Aye.
And no. All right, so it's defeated. Oh, sorry.
No.
Aiden, Evan.
Evan, no.
No.
Evan?
No.
No, all right.
All right. Thank you,
Joe. Very good. Thank you, Joel. And we'll move on to the next item, number 9. I place this on the agenda in the event that you wanted to discuss the bonding resolution and that whole subject matter. If I hadn't put it on here and somebody wanted to talk about it or had something to say about it, we couldn't do it. I leave it up to you. If you want to discuss it any further, you can. If not, we'll move on to number 10. So.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for recognizing me. As I understand it, we took action on one resolution. It failed. The other resolutions we had not acted on yet.
Right.
So the one resolution that failed would have to be changed somewhat, some minor change. I guess even a dollar would allow us to reconsider a similar motion. But maybe I could ask through the chair to our finance director to advise us on mechanically what would we do if the board was needed to reconsider, not reconsider, but to act on authorizing an initial resolution for bonding.
In other words, a new resolution.
It would be a new resolution.
Yeah.
So what would the procedure be?
There are two courses of action here. The first is if one of the six that voted against it decides they want to change their vote, they can come back with a motion to reconsider. And as I understand from Corp Council, there is now left, that has to be at the next board meeting. That's one thing. That does not require it to be changed at all. It is the original one that was presented. If that does not happen, then we can come forward with a revised resolution. I think it has to be a little bit more significant
than a dollar.
But it doesn't have to be drastically different. Okay. It doesn't have to be hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah, so, and that would be brought forward as a new initial resolution. And as you said, the other two were never acted upon.
So the one that was acted upon, we would have to make some modestly material change that would pass muster with bond council. The other two, although they were docketed, we adjourned before they were considered, so we could adopt them in an identical form to what was initially presented with no change.
Okay.
And to court counsel, that six supervisors in this case represents a quorum, I think.
Yes, it does, a reverse quorum.
So six supervisors is a negative quorum. So with that, I yield.
Okay, I just want to add to that. Thank you for his work. I've been talking about the legality of it with the Corporation Council almost on a daily basis, asking questions and everything. And also, I'm going to be putting for discussion for the executive committee, which we're going to have the meeting next Tuesday, right before the board meeting. And of course, the Corporation Council is aware. He's going to be there to ask all the legal questions. But what Eddie can answer the questions as far as finance is concerned, but Corporation Council will be there to ask all the legal questions. And again, if that's any of the six wants to reconsider, they got till what they should, we should know by tomorrow to put it on the agenda, but technically they could even do it on Monday and we could amend the agenda. So if nothing is done, then we can discuss maybe the legality, what can be done or what cannot be done at the executive meeting on Tuesday night.
And
so Patty, can you explain what exactly was in that resolution that was supposed to be bonded for? Do you have a list?
Actually, I do. And I made copies in case this question came up.
Well, you're so well prepared.
Yes, these don't matter. This list was included with the Ehlers analysis, so it explained all of the capital projects for the county. As you can see, the list is here, and it is broken down into three columns that mm-hmm. represents the three initial resolutions that were to be brought forward that night. The first of those columns is the one that the board acted upon. I know it totals $18 million. We had initial resolution authority remaining from an initial resolution from last year that offset a component of that $18 million, so that's why it was $16 million that was presented to the board. But these are the projects that were covered, that first column of capital projects. The copper resolution and the highway resolution were the ones that were not considered.
So can you explain, I see in here, is the body cameras in here?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just not seeing it real quick, I thought it was. So explain, because I believe a few years ago, the board approved a multi-year contract with the body cameras, but did not approve funding at that time, well, for the multi-years.
Right, the funding has been approved year by year.
So, which I believe some of us argued at the time that was not wise to approve a multi-year contract and only funding each year, not overall to fund the entire project. So can you explain what happens when we don't have the money to pay for this contract that these supervisors that voted no voted to approve?
We have a couple of options. We are in the process of working with the different divisions on what their priorities are from this list. Body cameras being one, squad cars being another. I have heard back from some, but not all. So we are compiling that list to determine what those needs are and how we proceed. As I said, there is some initial resolution authority left on actually two initial resolutions from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't require another initial resolution. That funding is available to us to use and borrow this year. The authorizing resolution would come forward to the board as always, and that list of projects would be included with that so that you would see what those priorities were identified as. As it stands now, body cameras are first of the list.
Okay. I see there's also the roundabout at County Highway A and Y, and also the local road improvement projects at County Highway EM. And then also, because we did not pass the other County Highway W, and then K reconstruction phase two, if my eyes are lining up, what happens with the employees that are in the County Highway Department that build, repair those roads when the money to fund their positions is not approved?
There is potential for layoff.
And how many layoffs would that be?
I've been told about 20. That is not a confirmed number. As I look at it, these gentlemen do snow plowing. Mm-hmm. This would not occur until spring into summer. But by then, if something had not been resolved, then we would be looking at layoffs, especially the local road improvement project, since that's the paving of the 15 miles,
mm-hmm.
and they're very involved in that.
Right. And what's this, I mean, the Brookside generator replacement is also in there. Mm-hmm. The way it was presented to me, I thought it was quite high priority.
I believe it is high priority.
You know, for our residents that need multiple forms of electricity, we'll just state in an emergency, or multiple items that need electricity, okay. And that project would be stopped
unless
or not go forward because of that.
As I said, we're evaluating.
Okay. How about the IT projects? What are there IT projects? I believe some of them are basically continuing paying our fees for various programs that we use. Can you explain that?
There are three subscription-based services in there. Dayforce, our payroll software, is one. Dynamics AX, our financial software, is another. And Office 365 is a third.
So can you explain if we don't have the subscription, if we don't pay for the subscriptions for each of those?
A component of that is in the operating budget, so that mm-hmm. will get us started for the year. Otherwise, again, that is a priority. So as we look at this, if
we don't have Dayforce, what happens?
Employees don't get paid.
They literally, we don't make the payroll, print out the checks, and I'll figure out all those numbers.
Yep.
Okay, how about the...
Dynamics AX?
Yes, whatever that was. You said it was finance.
We can't pay our bills.
Okay.
You can't pay our accounts payable.
Write the other checks, okay? And how about the Microsoft?
We won't have email.
Okay. No one will be able to do any word processing or Excel?
Yeah, it is Office 365. It's not just Outlook 365, yes.
Okay, so we wouldn't be able to have email.
Correct.
We wouldn't be able to do any word processing, mm-hmm. any Microsoft product, basically,
correct.
We could not use.
Correct.
Okay. That kind of puts pretty much the entire county to a halt, correct? Okay. All right, thank you.
You could write out those checks?
We could.
Yeah, that's...
there's a lot of checks they write about.
When I was here, when I started here, that's the way we did it.
Go.
We go back 35 years ago.
So the $33,000 for computers for joint services, Supervisor Juhas voted against that. Does that mean they're not interested in those computers?
I do not know.
Or Supervisor Kubicki is 10% of $265,000. Did they tell you they're not interested and that $265,000, you voted against it. I mean, that's one, that's a conclusion one would draw. Good. Yeah, Brian.
The other questions that I have are, when did most of these projects initiate? Because many of these were in the process through the CIP prior to this board's seating, correct?
Some may have been, and that's the other thing we're evaluating. Some of the things are we legally obligated to continue or make these payments? One thing, for example, the revetment wall, the money to the city for $500,000. The board passed an IGA back in the end of March, early April. Looking at that document, it does not appear that that would need to be paid out in 2023, but we need to investigate that further on what the timing of that project is, and then the terms are laid out as to when our contribution to that project would be due. So those are still things that we're investigating.
But it's likely the negative quorum of six were part of the approval process for the project, many of the projects that are here, that now they've elected not to fund, which to me comes off as partisan manipulation for some reason I don't quite understand. But body cameras are critical to our police department. Simple as mail scanning system is critical to us being able to make sure the prisoners aren't receiving opioids in the mail. Exterior building renovations have to happen, or we have other costs that are incurred as things get worse. The roundabout, we've all been a part of that discussion at some phase because it's a deadly intersection. So now we're not interested in repairing a deadly intersection and allowing that to lapse. Vehicles that we can continue to take care of our facilities, additional things like a pavilion, those are wonderful opportunities for our residents to enjoy life in Kenosha County. So I found it reprehensible the other night when they voted against it. It's reminds me of somebody I was for it until I was against it, and I heard two people say that during session on Tuesday night. So I found it very troubling and difficult to accept that they would be for the projects but not for the funding for them. So a little cabal, but thank you.
Further discussion? Gabe?
Yeah, I just have a question to follow up on what you said before. They do have some money, maybe that we can prioritize what we're going to do it. And basically, we're in the process, of course, doing that now. However, as of right now, we cannot really do anything because we don't have the money. Am I correct?
I mean, we have not determined what those priorities
right,
are.
But
so
right now, most of the stuff cannot be done. My other question is that we do have some projects in there that were not put in the bonding. Mm-hmm. For instance, and please, that's the first one that came to my mind now. It's the $350,000 that we agreed to pay to the city towards the Uptown.
Uptown Lofts.
Well, technically or legally, we don't have to pay that either. That could be changed, and maybe we can use the money for, let's say, just to pay for the body cams.
That would require a budget modification.
I understand, but I mean,
board.
Legally, it can be done. We do have the thing that we can do. So even if some projects were not listed in the capital improvements with the bonding, I mean, we could change some of them subject to voting and approving it. So almost every single project would be in jeopardy. The courthouse could be, we're giving them $100,000, I believe.
That was, yes, funded with ARPA.
With ARPA money, mm-hmm. Which again, maybe we need ARPA money to do something for, and I'm just using this as an example. Yeah. We might need $100,000 to do the sprinklers over at Brookside. You know, so well, we need the money, so we might have to vote, as long as the votes are there or whatever. Taking it out of the courthouse and do something that is really needed. I'm just using example, whatever comes to mind. So basically, your budget right now is in jeopardy. Or it could be in jeopardy.
Am I right on that?
I don't know that I would say the whole budget was in jeopardy.
Bonding, and not even some that it's not bonded, but we need the money.
That we could move money around, prioritize.
To do what, which that's one thing we're going to have to do it. And again, like you said before, we're already working on that. We're looking at the legality, we're doing that, and maybe also by Tuesday night, we can have a few more answers on what can be done.
So is there a request of the committee to the chairman to put any of those resolutions back on the agenda, or we're not asking that?
I think at this point, it doesn't really matter where we put the other two resolutions on, and this is just my opinion now, because let's see what happens, and we do everything at the same time instead of trying to work around on a piecemeal, to do it.
So you're going to put them on the agenda?
No.
Oh, you're not going to put
them on the agenda.
No. Okay.
At the moment, I'm sorry, thank you, Chair.
Go ahead.
My perspective, since this subquorum made the decision for whatever reason to vote against the major bonding resolution, that affects the major work of the county.
Right.
Bringing the other two resolutions, I think, puts everything in jeopardy and could potentially shut the county down. So it makes little sense to me to bring them prematurely until they have reconciled with whatever their agenda was, is, and made a recommendation of war come to tomorrow with a motion to
reconsideration. It has to be before noon.
Yeah, within 24 hours, actually, we could call,
could be
like
Monday.
An emergency, it could be Monday.
Yeah.
The best way it would be actually was today, that should be to the county clerk today. But tomorrow, I talked to a couple of people that called me and they told me, I said, till Friday, but really, if they brought up on Monday, that could be done too.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, there's nothing to be done or acted on at the moment. It's in their court to hold the county hostage at the moment or come back with a different perspective.
Any further discussion on the end? All right, seeing none, we'll move on. I believe the bills are certain.
Yes.
Oh, you have them. All right, good. Are there any department reports?
Yes, Human Resources has a report.
Okay, go ahead.
So at our previous meeting, when we discussed the new weapons in the workplace policy, I was asked to bring back some information, if I could, on firearms and vehicles. So I'm here to report what I discovered. So referencing Wisconsin Legislative Council information memorandum from 2018, and I'll just read it for you. Under Wisconsin law, a person may transport a handgun in a vehicle, and the handgun may be loaded. A person may also transport a long gun in a vehicle, but the long gun cannot be loaded. To transport a concealed handgun in a vehicle, a person must have a Wisconsin or an out-of-state CCW license. For purposes of what may be considered concealed, the Wisconsin Court of Appeals has articulated a test for what constitutes going armed with a concealed weapon within a vehicle. Under that test, a person is carrying a concealed weapon in a vehicle if the weapon is inside the vehicle and is within the person's reach. Person is aware of the presence of the weapon, and the weapon is concealed or is hidden from ordinary view. The court interpreted the term concealed broadly with respect to firearms and vehicles, holding that a firearm in a vehicle is concealed if it is indiscernible from the ordinary observation of a person located outside and within the immediate vicinity of the vehicle. Accordingly, under current case law, a person may have a handgun that is out of arm's reach within a vehicle, even if the person does not have a CCW license. Sharing that with the committee.
All right.
That's your question.
Discussion? All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
What's next?
general fund report.
All right.
As you can tell, fund is not here this evening. So you should each have a copy of the general fund report at your spot, or it was emailed to you yesterday, if you want to look at the electronic version. As we normally do, I'll direct your attention to the box at the bottom of the page. As you can see, we still are showing an increase to the general fund of $563,000. This is a decrease of $222,000 from last month. And I'll go through the details of the decrease there. We're still at a percentage of 32.44%. And also, as shown at the bottom, the Pleasant Prairie TID closing is still projected to be approximately $2.5 million. I believe we are to get that money in November, but we have not received that money. Once we receive that money, we will move this into the body of the report. Going to the top of the report, to the items causing increase to the general fund, the human services item that has been showing about $2.5 million decreased by $380,000. Several of the divisions that were projecting increases are now projecting more of a break even. It's not that someone went into a deficit, but some of those positives have come into a break even status, and that's where they're projecting for the end of the year. So that decrease of $380,000 brings us to the $2.1 million you see there. Sales tax revenue was a surplus again, that increased by $62,000. The August collections, the August receipts that we collected in October were up by $62,000 from the prior year. Moving down, there's a slight increase in the public works operating surplus projection by $25,000. The decrease in tax delinquencies net of profit and loss tax deed sale revenues. There's a significant change here. One of the main drivers here was you may recall back in April, it was one of the first things you acted upon. There was a request to return a property to a property owner. It was one that we had taken on tax deed. There was an agreement that was signed where they would pay us all the back taxes, they would put money into escrow for future taxes. That occurred. Mm-hmm. And so the money we received towards the back taxes really got recognized under the tax deed because we had taken the property on tax deed. So that's where that significant change took place. And then there's a decrease in the miscellaneous operating expenditures revenue surplus of $100,000. Looking at the items causing decrease to the general fund, there's a slight uptick in the sheriff's revenue deficit by $50,000, an uptick in the sheriff operating expenditures deficit of $50,000, but an offsetting decrease in the health insurance deficit by $100,000. So there's overall no change in that total for the net reductions to the fund balance. And the combination of those bring us to the surplus amount that we're looking at of $563,000.
Discussion?
Dave? Patty, does that $95,000 reduction in the tax delinquencies net of profit loss, does that take into consideration those three properties we transferred to Paddock Lake?
Yes, but although there was an expectation that those back taxes were like $71,000. I think Jim Cuffer left. He has informed me and actually sent me some documentation. Reggie sent me some documentation that the back taxes on that was much, much less than that. Oh. We had taken those properties up quite a while ago. So Reggie wasn't sure where the $71,000 came from. It was really more like $10,000.
So it had not continued to accrue because
we were the owners, yes. Mm-hmm.
So the impact wasn't that much.
Correct.
Good. That's good news.
Further discussion? Yes, Ryan.
Any indication, not after the Sheriff's Department, I want to understand this second most significant swing on here, operating expenditures changed by $50,000. Any explanation why?
I do not, I did not really get that detail. I'm sorry, we did not see that as a significant change, so we didn't dig into it significantly.
Second largest on here.
I know. Yeah, the revenue deficit would probably have to do with the federal inmates.
Yeah.
The expenditures, although we knew about this, so it would have been part of the projections, was the increase in the fees for pharmaceuticals for the NAF care, medical, not pharmaceuticals.
There's also the care costs at the detention center that's significant. We have the group that provides inmate care.
Yeah, that's NAF care. That's what I was referring to. Yes. And that contract got changed mid-year, so that would increase their expenses higher than the budget.
So that could be the explanation.
Could be.
Thank you.
All right. Anything further? Are there any other reports?
No. That is all for reports.
All right. Question, do you want to meet in December or not?
Mr. Chairman, I think our normal practice is to not meet, so unless we have something that's urgent that we need to consider, I would be okay with just staying with our normal practice of having our next meeting in January.
Anyone? Brian?
No.
Aiden?
I do, though.
Brian?
Yeah. Maybe differ a little bit. Normal practice versus the current situation. Yeah. With what's going on within the budget, and
yeah, if there's something urgent that comes up, then we can call a meeting at any time.
Well, I would probably suggest keep it on the books, and we can, within next days, make a decision at that point.
Right. If there's nothing to be decided, we won't meet.
Yes.
And we will meet regular time and place if there are some things to do. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm. Works fine.
All right. Yes,
if there's a change to the bonding number. Is that going to have to be approved here?
It would.
So that would be a reason for it. Okay.
Correct.
I'm assuming that might be what needs to happen.
Yeah. All right, we'll leave it at that. Anything else?
I would just say the next regular Finance Committee meeting would be December 15th, I believe.
All right.
If by some chance there were a change coming forward that would need finance consideration, perhaps before the meeting of December 6th,
mm-hmm.
I would reach out to you and perhaps have a special meeting before the board meeting that night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not that I know anything.
Also, just keep in mind that the second meeting in December for the board, it's not going to be. So we're not going to have a board meeting.
We meet if something extraneous, otherwise it's resolved.
Fair enough. Anything further to come before the meeting?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We're adjourned. And what time is this executive committee meeting on Tuesday?
6:00.
Six. In this room.